You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Many times my ideas for podcasts come not just out of my mind, but out of conversations I have with people and out of conversations I have in coaching settings or with members of my different programs. And that's what happened today. But it's not about this particular conversation, this particular Facebook conversation, as much as it is about the fact that I've had the same conversation many times. So a spouse does something. Maybe you have done something towards your spouse to reach out, right? You're the person I'm talking about as the one who's reaching out, trying to save your relationship. And as you reach out to do something, maybe you do a tag along or a text or something that I would recommend, you get what I call pushback, resistance. Or maybe you set something up and your spouse says, you know, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to give the wrong impression. Or maybe your spouse says, you know, I don't know what you're thinking, but I don't want to string you along. Or maybe your spouse says, I think it would be better if we didn't talk on the phone. Or I think it would be better if I didn't come over anymore. Or I think it would be better if we didn't have sex anymore. Or any number of other things where basically your spouse is saying, you know what, right now I think that would be best not to do. And immediately what happens is I get a report back about being rejected. And it feels like rejection. It feels like a spouse is pushing you away. But today I want to challenge that for a minute and ask the question, is that rejection or is that really protection? Is it rejection or protection? And I'm just going to propose that behind it all is perception. So we now have these three pieces, rejection or protection. Is it really about one or the other, or is it really kind of caught up in a perception? So let me talk about a couple of reasons why I think that a lot of times the rejection you feel is more importantly to be understood as protection. The first reason I think you need to understand it that way is because almost always that's the case. So many times I've had both people in my office and one will talk about a rejection and the other person will say, I was just protecting myself. And here's the thing about humans. We're wired for connection. I've said that many times. That's kind of the base level of my understanding for what we're doing as we're trying to work on this marriage is restore the connection. Humans are in our DNA, all the way down into our wiring. Even as an infant, we are wired for connection, for being attached to somebody else, to having that closeness with other people. And it's part of what makes a marriage work. It's also what takes a marriage apart. The same thing that helps a marriage move forward is the same thing that gets a marriage in trouble, connection. So on the one hand, it's building connection that helps a marriage move forward. But when a connection is failing, that's what brings a marriage crisis because it's painful. It's psychologically painful. It's emotionally painful. It's even physically painful. If you've ever yearned, you feel your arms wanting to hold somebody, to be close to somebody, you know that physical hurt of that. And when we talk about our grief response, oftentimes it's bodily that we actually ache and hurt for that kind of contact. So the same thing, the same platform that helps a marriage grow, connection, the opposite of that is what brings it down, disconnection. And so part of what we recognize is that when we feel disconnected, people begin to protect themselves. When we disconnect, people end up trying to protect because it hurts. And so the reason I want you to understand that is about intention. Now, what I don't want you to hear me say is all of those things that a spouse might do, the pushback, the resistance, the saying, you know, I just don't think we better do that. I'm not saying that it's not going to hurt. And I'm not saying that feeling the hurt, something's wrong with you, as much as I'm saying we need to understand the context and the reason for that, because a lot of times rejection is what keeps people from moving forward. But what if you realized it's really about your spouse protecting? That changes how you go about some things. So often we experience this action or inaction of a spouse as rejection, And that rejection feels very personal, right? Because the person is rejecting you, if that were the case. But what if you think of it the other way, that it's very personal for that person, but what they're actually trying to do is protect themselves, primarily. Now, that doesn't mean it doesn't feel like rejection. Remember, I said that again. It doesn't. It's just that that's not necessarily their intention. So when I have people in my office, the person who has been accused of rejecting often will tell me how they're just trying to protect their heart. They're just trying to protect their time. They're just trying to protect their emotions. They're trying to protect something, not trying to be an all-out assault on the other person of rejection, but it's about protection. So it can feel like rejection, but not be rejection. That's important point number one. It can feel like rejection, but not actually be rejection. I've told this story, but I haven't said it in a long time, but it's been a while now, a couple of years back, a few years back. I was driving along and I saw a dog that had been hit by a car. And so I got out to help, and that poor dog was hurting, clearly was hurting. And so I tried gently to kind of wrap the dog up in a towel. I keep towels in my car, mostly to keep the sweat off of the seats, but, you know, just in case I need one. And so I pulled out the towel and I was wrapping around him, and he grabbed my arm, just bit my arm. Now, it didn't really tear into me, but it was clearly biting me and just held my arm. And so as I was cradling this dog, trying to take care of it, it was latched onto my arm, not breaking the skin, but wanting me to know that what I was doing was hurting it. The dog was not meaning to attack me. The dog was protecting itself from the hurt of the wounds. And that's kind of what often happens with people. Think about it for yourself. How many times have you felt hurt by something and you found yourself reacting in a way that maybe wasn't the best? Maybe you're reacting from a hurt place, from a protective place. Because when we're hurt, we're protective. Remember how this kind of cycles around. We think about anger and those deeper feelings of anger that we call resentment, right? Which is when the anger is never addressed. It goes to kind of a deeper systemic infection that we call resentment. But remember that anger and resentment are outward signs of hurt, outward signs, ways of pushing away from people. And unfortunately, it's very hard to respond to that anger, to that resentment. And it's a lot easier to respond to the hurt. Anger and resentment are repelling. Hurt is something that's attracting. You know, people want to help somebody who's hurting. They push back against people who are angry and resentful. But that's often how we play out our lives, that when something is bothering us, we tend to push away to protect. Some kind of thing happens, you know, let's say you hurt your foot and you kind of hobble along trying to protect your foot from having it injured again. The other day I was running on the trail, and at the end, I mean, it was literally probably 300 yards from my car, and I was coming over a lot of rocks, and I just kind of twisted my ankle on rocks. Now, I've been trail running for a long time, and so I pretty much instantly kind of roll with it, so I don't sprain my ankles, but sometimes I get a little twist to them. And so I'm hobbling along, and I'm thinking, okay, is this kind of bad? So I'm testing it to see if the weight will go on it, and I'm walking a little slowly, and then I jog a little bit, and I just kind of see if my leg will take it, and it seemed okay, so I jogged on back to the car. Well, that afternoon, for whatever reason, I twisted my ankle, meaning I twisted it around, just kind of trying to loosen it up, and it instantly grabbed, and it hurt. And the rest of the afternoon, I was kind of protecting my ankle. If my dog came towards me, I'd pull my ankle away, and when I was walking, I kind of hobbled along so I didn't put all my weight on my ankle, and you know, I put some ice on it, and I kept it raised a little bit, and I swam with it that evening to kind of loosen it up, and I just basically protected it and babied it, because that's what we do when we're hurting. We protect the hurt. We protect our hearts when our heart's what's hurt. We protect whatever it is from further injury. And so many times a spouse is protecting themselves from feeling that disconnection. It's not meant to be a rejection of you as much as a protection of the self. So the first thing I want you to remember is it can feel like rejection, but not actually be rejection, because number two, people do things for themselves primarily, not against others, In other words, we do actions because somehow it's for ourselves. It's a self-service place. It's the beginning point of life is how we tend to do things for ourselves, not against somebody else. Now, let me be very clear. That doesn't mean that people don't act with charity and care for other people, right? They can reach out in love and kindness and do kind and loving things. But when we're looking at the mirror of that, people don't generally go out of their way to purposely hurt somebody, generally. They don't go out of their way to purposely hurt somebody as much as they do it for themselves. So somehow it preserves their own sense in their mind of what's right and what's wrong, or they're trying to protect themselves and in the process they push someone away, or somehow it's for themselves primarily, not against the other person. So your spouse says, you know what, I don't really think we ought to hang out like we've been hanging out. That's for themselves. It's not against you. It's for their own self-preservation or something, some other place. And to recognize that it's for protection in their mind, whether you agree that it needs to be protected is a different question. But whether they believe it's for their protection, that's my point here. It's a perception piece. The other person is perceiving it as projection or as protection of themselves, not as rejection of you. You're perceiving it as rejection of you, not protection of themselves. And what I'm trying to do is get us both on the same page, because it changes how we react and respond. So the second thing I want you to remember is people do things for themselves, not against others primarily. Which leads us to the third thing about those perceptions. Perceptions are an interesting thing. It's a way we view the world. And there are a couple of very unique things about us humans. Our brain is not designed to look for exact accuracy. Our brain is not designed to look for something to be right as much as to feel right, as much as to seem to be correct to us. We're more about it feeling correct than it actually being correct. We don't need to see things accurately. We need to see things the way they fit into our understandings of the world. And because of that, we look for evidence to support our view. The term for this, if you kind of want to kind of figure out what it is we tend to look for things that confirm our bias. So confirmation bias. We keep looking for evidence. And so instead of it being that we have something that comes along and it changes our perception, generally we ignore the things that challenge our perception, and we grab the things and are attracted to the things that confirm our perception. Confirmation bias. Think about what happens in the news right now. Whatever place you are on the political spectrum, you're probably reading stories that confirm your bias. And when you see something that is outside of that, you label it something else, whether it's fake news or, you know, whether you see it as partisan news or whether you see it as some slant from some publication or something else, some outlet. You see it as that. So we start doing that on a daily basis of ruling out the things that challenge our perceptions and buying into the things that confirm our perceptions. That's confirmation bias, and your perception is doing it every day. So that's part of what you're up against when you're trying to save your marriage, is also your spouse has this confirmation bias, that they continue to look for evidence to support what they already believe, not have something new challenge it. So my suggestion for you is you be aware of that for yourself. Not that you're going to change the confirmation bias of your spouse, except for over time, the evidence keeps mounting up. And that's the nature of this. When we can have evidence continue to mount up, it finally wins the case. Almost always, it finally wins the case. And so what you're trying to not do is get pulled in by your confirmation bias. Oh, this isn't going to work. You know, there's no way my spouse is going to turn around. There's no way I'm going to be able to build this connection. And that generally is, if you start with that, the place where you start building evidence of that. So you believe that there's nothing you can do, and then you get a little bit of action from your spouse that feels rejecting. Remember, feels rejecting, even if it's really about protection. And you take that in and say, see, this is what I mean. There's nothing I can do. And you give up. Rather than saying, you know what? I've got to continue to be constant and consistent. I've got to be calm about this process and continue moving forward in this, because that's the way that you make progress. So remember that, generally speaking, with our perceptions, we look for evidence to support what we already believe, confirmation bias, but we can choose to see evidence to the contrary. I try to do that every day of reading a few articles that disagree with my perspective, to argue with myself, to really see whether I can kind of hold water in what I have come to believe, or if I need to maybe change my perceptions a little bit. The second thing is we tend to fill in the blanks when you don't know the answers. You fill in the blanks, and generally you fill in the blanks with, as Brené Brown said, we fill them in with conspiracy theories, stories that are actually counter to us, that go towards our weaknesses and our greatest fears. We create the stories of our biggest conspiracies in our mind about our biggest fears. And perceptions, just because it's our own perceptions, we tend to make it very personal. It's my perceptions. And so part of what we work to do is build empathy and understand it from the other person's perception, from their perspective. So I would just suggest you put in a couple of pieces into your operating system, so a couple of upgrades, some sub programs into your operating system. And one is to see actions as protection. Begin to see it that way. Instead of going, my spouse rejected me, to say, wow, my spouse is protecting themselves. And to try to understand it from that place. See it as being about the other person. Not about you, but about the other person, trying to hold on to their perspective, to their perceptions. And make sure that it's aimed at understanding where their protection is coming from. Spouses tend to protect themselves from confusion, from frustration, from hurt, from disconnection, from something that kind of feels like a threat. So just kind of run that through your operating system and see if you can come to an empathetic understanding that when it feels like rejection, it's really about protection from the other person's perception. And the last thing I would say is, do not allow this to throw you off your plan. Because that's often what our tendency is. Oh, that's rejection, so I just need to walk away, instead of going, okay, my spouse is feeling the need for protection, and I've got to figure out how to deal with that and get around that. Remember, in the moments that feel like rejection, they are more likely to be protection, and it's more based in your perception. So try to drift over to your spouse's perception and work from a level of empathy. If you need help with this, if you really are trying to figure out how to understand all of this and what this connection is about and how to move forward, I'm going to invite you, as I frequently do, to grab my Save the Marriage system. The reason is the whole system is based on this known fact that we are wired for connection, and that when we can move back towards connection, we can reestablish connection much easier than it seems when we're working from a point of disconnection. When you can understand the rejection as really about protection, it changes your viewpoint, and then you need an underlying system of how you're going to move forward and save your marriage. That's the purpose of the Save the Marriage system. If you're interested in that, please check it out at savethemarriage.com, savethemarriage.com. I will tell you that right now, if you grab it now, I'll also throw in a no obligation complimentary discussion, talk with one of my coaches, one of my relationship coaches. It's about a 20-minute help getting you started discussion, and that's at no charge to you. That doesn't mean it's worthless. It's just no charge to you. We cover that for you. I also will give you a free week, a complimentary week of the VIP virtual coaching program, where you can actually get other tools of how you build that connection, and you can get a fill-in-the-blank plan to save your marriage, and you can ask your questions that I'll answer for you. And all of that's a free week. You just have to grab it when that shows up in the process. You don't have to have it for the system. It's completely optional. You get to choose and add it on. I don't sneak it in on you. It's all up to you to choose that. If that's of interest to you, please go now and check it out at savethemarriage.com. I'll tell you, I've been here for years. I will be here for years. The question is whether your marriage is here for years. So if you're thinking, yeah, I'll put it off for another time, now's the time. Now's the time to take action, because the sooner you start addressing this, the quicker you get to a resolution and the easier it is to get there. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast, For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.